Florida Telehealth Foundation is proud to introduce you to Do Good Volunteer of the Month, Patrick Dietrich from Superior Search and Rescue. Patrick volunteers his time to train outside the area and bring it back to the team. The new training programs have been a huge help. During several missing person searches, his knowledge on building search tactics helped make searches successful. If you know an incredible volunteer like Patrick, go to dogoodcc.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Do Good in the Copper Country Volunteer of the Month.
Welcome once again to Copper Country Today. Good Sunday morning. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Learn more about them at phfgive.org. This will come as some small consolation to the folks listening on Herman Hill shoveling out that 48 inches of snow that they received over the last week and a half. That Memorial Day, as we broadcast this on Sunday morning, is 3 weeks from tomorrow. It's just hard to believe that we're going to transition this abruptly from the end of winter into summer, but it's time to take a look back to see how we did this winter in terms of our tourist season and preview what's coming up this summer. So Brad Barnett from Visit Keweenaw joins me to give us an update. Brad, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me. And, you know, I haven't put my snowshoes away yet, just in case. So I would encourage the rest of you folks to hang on to those as well.
I'm very proud of myself for keeping the winter tires on my car past tax day, because they certainly came in handy over the last couple of weeks here, and I think maybe now I'm getting to the point where I can probably safely take them off. But it certainly was a jolt and a little bit of a last. That doesn't help us much, though. I mean, the trails are closed, everything is shut down, so the fact that we got some snow doesn't do much for us.
No, it really doesn't. You know, again, you know, all the ski hills are closed, the trails are closed. You know, when we're at that period in time of the year to where, like, we're really just waiting for things to dry out. And so getting an extra 20 inches of snow or 48 inches of snow, like in Herman, you know, it doesn't help things. It may delay some, so hopefully we'll get some sunshine, some warmer temps. It looks like it's in store for us. Things will begin to dry out and we can get out there and start getting ready for summer.
Sure, because those ATV trails, the hiking trails and such, they're pretty soggy at this point in some places.
Absolutely. And what we would just ask, especially community members, is, you know, to respect those trails and stay off of them for now. Wait for the clubs to get out and give you the okay, because what happens is if you get out when those trails are wet, you know, you start building up those ruts, you increase erosion, right? You create those divots in there that, you know, make for a less enjoyable experience later in the summer. So let's give them the opportunity to get those trails freshened up for us a bit before we go out there and do our first ride.
Well, it's something that I know the trail maintenance folks, and God bless them for all the work they do for us here in the Copper Country. I know they hate when those puddles come up and you start widening the trail around them to stay on dry ground, and all of a sudden the trail that used to be 4 feet wide is 8 feet wide and it's a morass. That can be a real problem.
Absolutely. And so a lot of these trails, they are on easements through private property, right? So they have legal rights to certain spaces, but if we go off those trails, if we drive around like wet spots and expand like the width of those trails, we might get to the sort of the edge of those legal easements or even around them. So we don't want that to happen. So again, just follow the guidance from the club. They put out a lot of good information throughout, you know, our media sources like this. So just follow those and keep in mind. And when they're ready to open and they're ready to ride, then they'll let us know.
Yeah, and you can follow their websites. I know you've got updates on the Visit Keweenaw website, so you can go to the Visit Keweenaw website and find the latest trail conditions and see just what's open, what's not open, what's problematic, what's not problematic. And please abide by that, because it takes goodwill from all concerned to keep these trails in place, and they are so important to us.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Our trail systems, I mean, that and Lake Superior beaches, right? That's what brings people up during the summer. The summer is generally the busiest time for us, summer and fall. Those trails are important. They bring in a lot of tourism activity, but also, you know, we as community members, we love them. We enjoy them. That's why many of us are even here.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, make sure that we're all pitching in. One, we're helping maintain those trails, but we're also respecting them and keeping them in good shape.
Yeah, it is part of our quality of life for those of us who use the trails, and certainly, as you said, something that brings a lot of dollars into our community. And we think about that in general terms, but that is employing our neighbors. It is keeping our neighbors' businesses going, the restaurants, the motels, the shops and such. There are an awful lot of people who are not going to be working if we don't have a good tourist season.
Absolutely. And then there are the spillover effects, right? I mean, a lot of the properties that we have, you know, I think of hotels and restaurants and retail shops, those folks, they pay property taxes, right?
Sure.
Those property taxes go to important, you know, local services, whether it's our local school systems or water, road maintenance, and you know it. So, right, I mean, you know, even beyond the localized jobs, which are incredibly important, right? I mean, it actually provides the revenue for many of us to get the services that we do have here in the community. So we just need to be mindful of that. And again, a lot of that starts with Mother Nature and the welcoming, you know, communities that we have here to offer.
And Mother Nature is a lot less reliable than the people in the Keweenaw.
No doubt. If we could learn how to predict both snowfall and rain and all that kind of, and flooding, all that kind of good stuff, we would be in much better shape. But, you know, she can be fickle, and, you know, we do our best.
God is laughing at us right now. Let's take a look back then over the past winter. It was a strange, strange winter. We got an early start. We had that terrible stretch through January and into early February. How did it all shake out?
Yeah, so again, you know, I think we're following the theme here. Mother Nature, she giveth and she taketh away sometimes. And, you know, we, you know, our winter snow economy, right, it's built on snow, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and we can promote, but if we don't have the snow product, then it really doesn't make a difference because people know what the weather conditions are like. They monitor those things through, you know, again, media sources like, you know, our channel here, but then also John D. and all that kind of good fun stuff. So at the end of the day, we definitely had a softer winter season than we had in the prior year. So, you know, we look in terms of total visitation, our numbers were slightly down. But luckily, you know, surprisingly, despite the fact that we had, you know, again, not an ideal winter, you know, we were just only about 5% down in terms of total visitation compared to the prior year. So not a great winter season, but also, you know, given the fact that we had kind of a rough winter snowfall and inconsistencies there, it's still a strong one for us.
Of course, we don't have to have a great winter season to have a great winter. I've said this for years.
Yeah.
All we have to have is enough snow to make our trails work and not enough snow south of US 2 to make anybody else's trails work.
Yeah, and that's completely true. And the challenge with this winter is, one, you know, actually a lot of those snowstorms that, you know, we're typically known for, right, they actually went south of us.
Yeah, they tracked south of us one after another. And I'm thinking this is killing us, not because we're not getting the snow, but because northern Wisconsin is getting the snow.
You got it.
Their
yeah.
people down in Eagle River and places like that had to be thrilled.
Absolutely. And in Minnesota, again, which, I mean, again, from a latitude perspective, they're just as far north as we are in many cases, right? But they don't get nearly as much snow because they don't get that lake effect snow.
Right.
So for them, you know, they were celebrating getting 70 inches of snow this year. They thought they had a banger of a year, you know, but, you know, but, and so for them, they were excited about that. And then that kept some people from coming this far north, right? Or, you know, this far, I'm thinking east, you know, for them.
Yeah.
So, it definitely impacted us a little bit. But luckily, you know, the snow we did get came at fortuitous times. We had a number of community events that were really critical to us in terms of bringing visitors here and really enjoying winter. And, you know, Copper Dog 150, it ran this year. God bless it. You know, it ran. You know, all the other sled dog races in the UP got canceled.
Well, this was going to be the year where we introduced that Triple Crown event, the Lake Superior Triple Crown. And, and one by one, they started falling. Newberry couldn't hold theirs right after the first of the year. And Marquette having to cancel was just a major blow to the whole sled dog thing here in the region. That's the really pivotal race. As much as we love our Copper Dog, the UP the UP one over there in Marquette is certainly the flagship race in the Upper Peninsula, and to have that canceled was really a blow. But it set up a really good Copper Dog 150 because there were a lot of people who were there just saying, I'm glad we've got someplace to race.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We heard that from ushers who came up to Calumet. They were just thankful that they had the opportunity to run their dogs this year. You know, I know a lot of people, they come to the UP 200. I mean, we have a lot of people downstate that come to Marquette specifically for that event. And, you know, a lot of respect goes out to them for trying to put something on, even though they weren't able to run the dog race. But what I like to say, though, is now that we in Calumet and the Keweenaw, we have the UP's longest running sled dog race right now. So
we've
got something
we can do because we kept it going through the pandemic when others shut down. It was a limited version, but we kept it going through the pandemic, and we had it this past spring, late winter. when others didn't, and it worked out okay. We had decent trails for it. It was a good race.
Yeah, a lot of credit goes again to the race organizers this year and the Keweenaw Snowmobile Club for helping maintain those trails and offering those trails up. It was a warm run, no doubt about it, for the dogs. I hear that it's kind of warm for them to go out there and run. But for a community member and a volunteer for the event, we were just really excited to see the energy in Calumet and really excited to see the dogs run. And everyone was really thankful that that event was still put on.
Well, and it was warm enough that I managed to do it without my hat on. And I got it because there's a lot of space up here, you know, where the hair used to be.
Yeah.
I got a sunburn.
Oh, jeez.
It's the first time I've ever worked the Copper Dog 150 and come back and go, wait a minute.
Well,
I got to put a little aloe on here. I got a sunburn.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful weather for the spectators. Mm-hmm. A little bit warm for the dogs. They don't like it that warm.
Absolutely. It was a nice balance. I know it brought a lot of people out, you know, to the area to actually watch and spectate, right? So that was, you know, one of the benefits of it. I know as a volunteer, right, I was glad I wasn't shivering to death and losing a few fingers. So certainly a benefit there too. And I think we probably converted some folks to come up next year to the race, especially on the mushing side. I heard a lot of great compliments from first-time mushers who came up and had the experience and didn't realize the pomp and the circumstance and the level of organization the Copper Dog has to offer. So again, we showed out well, just like we always do, and the Keweenaw really shined.
Yeah, the mushers that I talk to year after year tell me how impressed they are with the event, the volunteers. They love coming back. Not all of them do, obviously. They want to go other places. They want to do other things. We're the last race in the year, so we tend to get a lot of drops because we have mushers who have gone through their season and all of a sudden they've got a couple injured dogs and they say, well, we're not up to doing this last one. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we get some people coming in at the last minute because we are the last one. And if they want to get one more in, we're the choice.
Yeah. And it's a great training race for folks who are just getting new to the sport, right? Because they have those shorter distance races.
Yep.
So first timers or folks who are really new to the industry, this is a great place to cut their teeth and they get to, you know, connect with other mushers and build that sense of camaraderie. I thought, you know, I was really excited to be part of this event this year. And one of the most rewarding things to hear is when I'm talking to downtown businesses in Calumet, you know, I hear from some of the mainstays, some of the folks who have been there for 30 years, they tell us, this is literally the busiest time of the year for us.
Yeah.
The Copper Dog, I mean, it surpasses things like, you know, Small Business Saturday and Black Friday shopping, right? This is the biggest retail day for Calumet. And I was really excited we were able to hold that race again. So the race organizers did a fantastic job and it's really meaningful and impactful to the community.
Yeah. And for me as the announcer, there is nothing like looking out of that booth down the street, seeing 1,000 people or more having a great time and knowing that a lot of those are not ours. They're people who have come up for it. So it's turned into a major draw through the winter, along with the other major draws that we have here.
For sure. Yeah.
Through the winter. So Brad Barnett from Visit Keweenaw, let's turn our attention forward. The summer season is coming up, Memorial Day, 3 weeks away. Really?
Yeah. I can't even believe it. I mean, you look at the calendar and you kind of have to do a double take because, we've got a couple of events coming up here in just a few short weeks. And talking to some of the organizers of Ride the Keweenaw and the newly cemented From the Ground Festival, we're all looking again at the weather forecast and saying, hey, are we going to be able to run these rides and have these community events? We will. I can guarantee that they will happen, but it might be a little muddy and a little messy when we get out there.
And things can change very quickly here in the Copper Country. Mm-hmm. We get one of those systems that comes through and all of a sudden we've got some sunshine and we've got no rain. It's just amazing how quickly things can dry out. And you watch sometimes the Forest Service and the red flag warnings that they have to put up where all of a sudden we get some wind and things dry out quickly and there's fire danger. It's amazing how things can dry out. So
and the good news is, again, this latest batch of snow, even though we did get snow in, you know, early May, we didn't get nearly as much as some of our friends farther south. So I mean, for the trails up north, just talking to some of the volunteer groups that maintain those trails, you know, there's not as much to melt, and some of we're starting to see grass and some bare ground. So they do have a couple of work days, some volunteer work days, to go out and start cleaning up the trails. So I'd encourage anyone that's interested in, that uses these trails as community members, to consider volunteering and going out and helping clean up some of those spaces.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, as we're broadcasting this on Sunday morning, there is one today. They're meet at 10 o'clock at the park in Copper Harbor if you want to help clean up the Copper Harbor trails. There is another one scheduled for this coming Saturday. Again, 10 o'clock start time. We've got details about both of those posted on our QNRReport.com community calendar. Get out and help clean up the trails. If you've got leaf blowers, mowers, if you've got chainsaws and such, bring them along, because sometimes they have to clear some tree falls or branch falls, things like that, out on the trails. Those trails in Copper Harbor have become such an anchor for summer activity, Brad.
They're world class. I mean, they're you know, you really can't say anything more than that. I mean, they are recognized internationally for mountain biking and increasingly hiking and even water trails.
But sometimes that term becomes just a piece of hyperbole. You know, everybody says they've got world class this or world class that.
Yeah.
This is legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's the devils are in the details, right? I mean, we see organizations, again, IMBA, which is the International Mountain Biking Trail System. Agency or authority or what, I can't remember what they said, but the point is they certify trails, right? So they go out and they actually designate different trail systems throughout the world as either bronze level, silver level, gold level ride centers, right? And Copper Harbor is recognized as a silver level ride center, and there's only a couple of those in the Midwest, right? So, I mean, this is legitimate. These trails are seriously attract people, not just throughout the Midwest, across the country, to come ride these trails time and time again. Last year, we were recognized by Outdoor Magazine as Copper Harbor having been one of the top adventure mountain towns in the country, and that's Outdoor Magazine. So that's high praise by a publication that's renowned across the country for knowing what outdoor adventure really looks like. So when we talk about having some serious outdoor recreation infrastructure in the Keweenaw, we mean it.
Well, and it's not just the fact that the trails are wonderful, but at a time of year when some trail systems see sagging use because it's so hot and humid, we're not.
Yeah, that's actually kind of funny. So I was just reading an article the other day, Todd, about a climate refuge travel, right, where people are looking and seeking for experiences to where it's not 120 degrees outside. And because Mother Superior is out here, she insulates us during the winter and she keeps us cooler during the summer. You know, you can go out there and you can have these types of experiences. You can go outdoors. You can go to Isle Royale. And again, you're not in insufferable heat, right, which makes it a lot more enjoyable.
That's one reason that I and a lot of people live here. Yeah. I don't like heat.
Yeah.
I mean, I could sometimes wish that the winters were a little shorter and we had a little longer summer, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't like heat. I don't like living in a place where it's 85 and humid. I like living in a place where I don't have to run my window air conditioner in my house more than a half a dozen times a summer.
Yeah,
it's very temperate here, and that attracts, I'm assuming it attracts people.
I believe so. I mean, and people come up here because they know of our sort of outdoor quality experience and certain our history. They come here because they have a connection. But, you know, if you're going to go spend time outside, right, it's much more enjoyable to do so when it's moderate temperatures. And I think that allows folks to, you know, spend a little more time. And maybe even more importantly, and this is an old hack from when I spent time on a tobacco farm in Kentucky, right? Because the temperatures are more mild, you can wear longer clothes, right? Longer sleeves, pants. And that's important because we also have a pretty, you know, vicious bug season, right?
Yes.
So you can't do that, you know, or you're generally not doing that when it's 95 or 100 degrees outside. So those moderate temperatures allow us to dress more appropriately for outdoor activity and be able to enjoy it, you know, and maybe save ourselves a few bites from some of those pesky insects.
Yeah, that's a great point. Of course, the flip side is our beaches perhaps are not as usable as beaches perhaps even at the southern end of Lake Michigan. Our Lake Superior water temperature never really gets to the point where it's comfortable to swim.
Unless you're like six. Now, if you're a six-year-old kid up here, then you go swim all day long. Me, not so much. I get, you know, I have a hard time jumping in the Superior.
I was bemused a couple of weeks ago. An article came out that said that one of the nation's foremost nude beaches is in Porcupine Mountains Wilderness State Park. And I'm thinking, really?
Maybe not the type of notoriety we want to be, the accolades we want to receive.
I don't know where this beach is personally, and I'd never heard of it before that. And I thought, you know, if you're going to go into the water there, maybe you don't want to do that, whether you're wearing a bathing suit or not. But there it was. So.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one. I mean, it's not something we're going to widely share. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, but technically, it's not within our purvey anyway.
It's not
within Visit Keweenaw's purvey, so we don't have to headline and put a link to it up there, wherever the heck it is, and 50 miles worth of beach that they have at Porcupine Mountains Wilderness State Park.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the events that are coming up. You mentioned a new one that's coming to downtown Houghton.
Yep, this is a great new event on Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be on Saturday, the 27th of May. It's called From the Ground Festival. This was something that the local community here in Houghton came together and said, what can we do to really celebrate, really the sort of the kickoff, if you will, to what we would consider early summer. Ride of the Keweenaw has already taken place all weekend long. That's group rides and actually some enduro races that are taking place everywhere from the Adventure Mine all the way up to Copper Harbor. So that event is taking place, but we're really trying to think, how do we get people excited about spring and really promote the local food scene, the farmer's markets that the Keweenaw is becoming well known for. Yeah,
hence the From the Ground, because that's the organization that's sponsoring now Houghton and Calumet and Hancock, the From the Ground Farmers Market organization that has really, really kind of come together to make those farmers markets very accessible to people. They're doing a great job with that.
Yeah.
And so they're putting this together on the new downtown Houghton Pier.
You've got it.
Which was built for things like this.
This is perfect, right? So we'll have vendors there. I believe there's about 40 different vendors already signed up to supply their wares. Now, it's still early in the season, right? So the growing season. So we'll see what sort of seasonal vegetables and things like that they have. But we'll also have some artisans down there. There's live music running from noon all the way to 6 p.m. So it's throughout the day. There's going to be tutorials from Wii e-bike, right, on some demonstrations on using their e-bikes along the way. So there's going to be a lot of activities, even some educational demos on composting and recycling and things like that. So really the impetus was really embrace localism, right? Get down and say, figure out whether it's local food, local talent when it comes to artists and musicians. You know, again, just really trying to celebrate the fact that, you know, the Keweenaw has a lot of special things that are coming from our locals, and we want to support that and celebrate that in a special time of year where maybe things are a little slower.
Does this localism do anything to help attract dollars in from outside?
Absolutely. I mean, when you talk to any visitor, you know, and even when you put yourself in the mind of a visitor, right, when we go on vacations, because some of us actually, we do get out of town from time to time, right? You know, once weather can...
What is this vacation and how do I get me some?
they're too few and far in between, for sure.
I missed the sign up.
but the number one thing visitors want is to experience authentic, local activities, food, you know, recreation. They don't want the cookie cutter. They can get a franchise restaurant, you know, but I don't want to offend anybody. But
with all due respect to the wonderful franchise restaurants, if I'm going on vacation, I'm not eating at Applebee's. I'm not eating at McDonald's. I'm looking for someplace like the Suomi or the Kaleva or someplace like that where I can get some local specialties and feel a little bit of what's going on in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes, I think, the UP broadly such a special attraction, because 95% of our restaurant, bars, retail shops, they are local. They're locally owned, locally operated. Yep. They are unique, one of a kind. You're not going to find these places anywhere else. And that's really special to visitors. And I just want to circle back to the farmers market. You know, when visitors come to the Keweenaw, oftentimes they want to visit the farmers markets, right? Because maybe they're going to do a picnic somewhere, or maybe they're going to maybe they have a rental somewhere that has a kitchen or a kitchenette, and they can actually prepare their own food.
And there are artisans at these markets as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Or you know, the value added goods, like whether it's honey or soap, or you know, those things that
maple syrup.
You can actually take them home. So you know, in a way, you know, our farmers markets, you know, a lot of the patrons are going to be local, but you know, again, visitors will go to these and they'll spend money and they'll help support the local agricultural scene.
So this is helping then to build our tourist industry.
Absolutely.
As we head into the summer, do we have any projections as to what we might expect?
So right now it's still early for us to tell, because our summer season starts a little later than some places downstate and across the Midwest. We're cautiously optimistic. You know, we're all kind of reading the tea leaves. Early season projections put us maybe a little bit kind of like where we were at last year, but you know, we'll have to just wait and see. You know, concerns of discretionary income and that kind of stuff weigh on the travelers' minds a little bit. And so the good news is that we still continue to see through market research that travel is a very top priority for a lot of folks. And they're maybe even willing to put some day-to-day expenses aside just so that way they can get that vacation in this summer. So, you know, we're hearing from an industry is that travel is still in demand, but maybe travelers take, you know, fewer vacations this summer. Instead of doing 3 trips, maybe they only do 2 trips. Maybe they, you know, shorten their vacation a little bit, or maybe even they stay a little bit closer to home instead of jumping on a plane and going somewhere else, because, you know, that cost of travel, maybe they stay a little more local or regional. we're a drive market.
So yeah, that actually helps us. We can be a reasonably priced option here. I mean, if you compare our hotel rates to some of the hotel rates in some of the summer hot spots, our hotel rates are much higher than they were a few years ago.
Sure.
Good for our hotel operators.
But
certainly... They look good in comparison to a lot of other places you might want to be going.
Absolutely. We're you know, when people look at the total cost of visiting the Keweenaw, we're a really affordable destination, given the experiences you're able to have. And a lot of that's because our products, you know, what we call products, our experiences, you know, they're free, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's, you know, going to that beach, hitting that trail, you go into the Keweenaw Dark Sky Park, you're not paying for those admission fees like
Keweenaw National Historical Park.
Absolutely.
You know, no charge for their things.
Yeah.
Some of the partners have minimal charges, but that's not very expensive take advantage of that and learn some great history.
Absolutely. And even if you do have to pay for those experiences, like going to the Quincy Mine, and we hear time and time and time again, you know, from the customers, they're saying, man, I would pay twice as much to have an experience like this. This is great. You know, so I know Tom Wright of the Quincy Mines hearing that, and you're saying, well, I have to think about our prices a little bit. So, you know, the other thing is our restaurant and our dining scene, right? I don't know how many folks I've taken in, and we've gone to places like the Ambassador, and we have an incredible lunch and an incredible dinner, and they're like, seriously, this is what you're charging for this, right? So, you know, they're very, you know, impressed by those prices. So we're a cost-effective destination. And so when people come up here and they're considering, you know, spending thousands of dollars somewhere else versus here, I mean, sometimes the economics work out in our favor.
All right, got to wrap it up. Brad Barnett from Visit Keweenaw. If you're looking to see what's going on this summer, look at the Visit Keweenaw website. All sorts of resources there, and thank you for the update.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.